Good morning. You are listening to 97 KDRT in Davis, California. Today we have a fun little show for you. We're going to be talking about how to do things. So I'm here with Leah and Zach, and we're going to start off with Zach. Zach's going to tell us how to go for a hike today.
This is nice. I don't really get to go out much. I'm really excited. It's been a long time since I've gotten to go on a really nice hike. Oh my god, beautiful. Oh my god, beautiful water. Ugh, you could drink that. It's so crystal clear. Wow. I mean, I'm just in awe of how beautiful everything is here. Well, I guess I should just continue off. A couple more miles and I'll hit my destination, the top. Take some pictures, post it on Facebook, and people think I'm doing something with my life. Can't wait. Oh! What was that? Where am I? Okay. Oh, it's dark. I guess I should start walking. Man, I don't even know where to go. It's so dark. I wish I had a flashlight. Ugh, my god. Ugh. What is that? Oh no, nah, I can't do that. Oh my god, I gotta get out of here. It's like a dead end. What am I gonna do? What is that?
Wow. It was beautifully theatrical. Thank you. All right, we're gonna welcome our next guest. Get them a little situated. In the meantime, Leah, have you ever been chased down by a monster while you were taking a hike? No. All right. We're gonna have our next guest introduce themselves.
All of you listeners have heard of what a succulent is, whether about its ability to be a good plant in a drought or about its ease of upkeep. Succulents are always paraded around as easy to grow, easy to take care of, low maintenance plants. However, in my experience with them, I can never catch a break. So together, we're going to learn how to take care of a succulent. And hopefully these tips and tricks can help me and you keep one of them alive. First of all, we need to make sure not to overwater these little plants. These plants are often thought of as desert plants, despite being available in a lot of other variety of ecosystems. They should still be treated as a desert plant, meaning the watering should only be happening when the soil is completely dried. Some signs that indicate overwatering are the yellowing of the leaves becoming translucent and mushy from the excess water, or the leaves easily falling off if touched. A way to solve this is by watering from below instead of above, by placing a pot with drainage holes with the succulent in a shallow saucer with water. We can let the soil absorb the correct amount of water itself and remove the succulent from the saucer once the necessary water has been absorbed. Next, we need to make sure to use well-drained soil. The potting mix we choose is important and needs less organic material than regular potting soil. If we want to do this manually, we could mix regular potting soil with sand and perlite, or we could buy specially made potting soil for succulents and cacti. Other things we must keep in mind are keeping the succulents at warmer temperatures, typically 70 to 90 degrees Fahrenheit, while not exposing them to too much sunlight. This is why they are a popular household plant. They can't survive in freezing temperatures or in too much direct sunlight. I hope these steps provided a lot more guidance and just a lot more things to consider on how to take care of a succulent. I'll definitely try them, and I hope I can keep one alive in the meantime. Thank you!
I'm pretty good with plants. I can't seem to keep a succulent alive, but...
Me neither.
Actually, the plant in my room's not looking too hot right now, so... All right, we're going to welcome our next guest. If you want to get yourself set up and situated.
The image of the dragon may differ in various cultures, but they all have important meaning. Whether in ancient Chinese legend or Western fantasy stories, the dragon is an existence that cannot be ignored. In Chinese cultures, the dragon is regarded as a symbol of auspiciousness, representing its powers, wisdom, and good luck. Chinese dragons are usually portrayed as snake body, bear horse, and eagle flesh. Ancient Indians used dragons as a symbol and believed that they were the son of heaven and the destiny of heaven. During the spring festivals every year, the traditions of dragon dancing is to pray for good weather and good parents. The Western cultures, dragons are often powerful and dangerous. They usually live in caves or oceans far away from humans. In many stories, warriors have to fight to the death with dragons to save princes or upland huge warriors. Since dragons are usually portrayed as having huge wings and sharp claws, giving people a sense of danger and power. Whether in China or the West, dragons symbolize power and mystery. The dragon, as a legendary creature, has transcended time and place and has become indelible symbols in global culture.
Wow, that was great. There's obviously a lot of natural themes going on this morning with all of these how-tos. All right, we're going to welcome our next guest, who's going to teach us how to do even more things. Leah, did you have a hard time picking your how-to?
A little bit, yeah. But, you know, I think I ended up on a good topic, so excited to share it later on.
Looking forward to it. All right, do you want to introduce yourself?
Today, I'll be explaining the process of creating a latte. First, we start with 18 grams of roasted coffee beans. Measure them in a dosing cup for accuracy and grind them to espresso fineness. Next, transfer those grounds into the portafilter. For an even extraction, you can use a WDT tool to break up clumps, and then smooth the surface with a distributor. Now it's time to tamp. Apply firm, even pressure to compress the coffee grounds. Wipe away any excess and place a puck screen on top to keep things clean. Lock the portafilter into the espresso machine and place your scale and cup underneath. Once the espresso starts to come out of the portafilter, you should keep an eye on the scale. Stop the shot once you've extracted exactly 34 to 35 grams of liquid. Ideally, this process should take about 25 to 30 seconds. For the next step, we will be steaming the milk to mix with the espresso. Add the milk to a pitcher and submerge the steam wand just below the surface to introduce air, creating microfoam. You want to create a vortex with the steaming milk. Once the milk feels warm to touch, lower the pitcher slightly and continue until the pitcher becomes hot to hold. This ensures that the milk is silky and smooth. Finally, the last step. You want to pour the steamed milk over your espresso in a slow and controlled motion, creating your desired latte art. And now you have a beautiful latte ready to enjoy.
Thank you so much. That made me miss my morning coffee, which I didn't get to drink.
Me too. I should have had a coffee this morning. It's kind of early.
All right, next up we have Madeline. Madeline, what are you going to be sharing with us today?
Step guide on how to hit a baseball or softball. First things first, figure out which side feels most natural for you to swing from. For most people, it's their dominant side. Right-handed people typically bat on the right side and left-handed people on the left. But there are exceptions. Some players are switch hitters, meaning they can hit comfortably from both sides of the plate. Others, like me, might throw right-handed but hit lefty. It's all about what works best for you. Once you sort that out, step into the batter's box and set up in a neutral stance. Position your feet about shoulder-width apart with your knees slightly bent. Shift your weight back and forth and settle into a balanced position. Next, grip the bat with your fingers wrapped around the handle. If you're a lefty, your left hand should be on top and your right hand will be underneath. If you're a righty, it's the opposite. Right hand on top, left hand on bottom. Don't grip the bat too tightly. You want to keep your hands relaxed so you can move to the ball quickly. Now, raise the bat with the barrel facing the sky and align your shoulders towards the pitcher. Keep both elbows bent and your hands around chest height. As the pitcher winds up, focus on tracking the ball from the moment it leaves their hand. Shift your weight to your back leg and draw your rear elbow back until it's level with your shoulder. Take a short stride forward with your front foot, and as you do, rotate your hips to start the swing. It's important to not just rely on your arms. Your body rotation and the pivot of your back foot will generate a lot of power. As you swing through, keep your hands level and focus on making solid contact with the ball. Follow through with your swing, letting the bat carry through the zone, completing the full rotation. Sounds simple, right? But then throw in a mix of curveballs, changeups, rise balls, and the pressure of in-game situations like bunting, full counts, or hit-and-run plays, and suddenly, hitting becomes significantly more challenging. So, take it one step at a time, keep practicing, and most importantly, stay focused.
Thank you, Madeline. Really appreciated that. I always wish I had played baseball or softball.
I don't know much about sports, but I feel like I'm starting to understand softball because of you. All right, next up we're joined by Alex. Alex, what are you going to tell us how to do today?
Today, I want to teach our listeners how to make a delicious strawberry banana smoothie at home. So, just follow these easy steps and you'll have a fresh smoothie at home in no time. Well, first, we must gather our ingredients. So, you will need a cup of fresh or frozen strawberries. The frozen strawberries help chill the smoothie but are not necessary. You'll also need a banana and a cup of milk. You also need half a cup of yogurt and a handful of ice cubes. So that's the list of ingredients that you'll need. But next, you'll also need some kitchen equipment. So of course, you'll need a blender, a paring knife for slicing your strawberries and banana, a cutting board, a glass to drink from, and a straw, if you please. Well, to begin, you want to grab your knife and begin cutting the green tops from the strawberries. Once they're done with that, chuck the strawberries into the blender when you're done. Next, take your banana peel and using the knife, cut it into multiple chunks. Chuck them as well into the blender. Now we can add our cup of milk or your milk alternative of your choice. And next, we want to make it creamy, so we have to add our half a cup of yogurt. The final touch before we begin blending is to add a handful of ice cubes to make it nice and icy cold. Now we can actually pop the lid on the blender and begin blending. You want to start with a low speed to break apart all the ingredients, and once they've been broken apart, turn the speed of the blender up to high. Continue until the smoothie consistency is nice and creamy. This should take about 30 seconds to a minute. Finally, you want to pop the lid off and pour yourself a smoothie into a cup and add a straw if you please. All right, enjoy.
Alex, that made me crave a smoothie.
I love smoothies, especially strawberry bananas. Those are the best ones.
All right, next up we have Shane coming in here. I overheard this morning that Shane is going to be telling us how to play a card game. If there's one thing about me, I can never learn how to play a card game. So maybe today is my day.
Good morning. Today for my process mix, I've decided to describe the card game War. The goal of the game is to be the first player to win all 52 cards of a deck, not counting jokers. First, begin the deal. The deck is divided evenly, with each player receiving 26 cards, dealt one at a time, face down. Anyone may deal first. It does not matter. Each player places their stack of cards face down in front of them without looking at them. That is the most important part. Do not look at them. That is considered cheating and gives an unfair advantage because you know what cards you may have. The cool thing about this game is that it's expandable. You can play with more than the regular two players. All that's differently is that you're going to be dividing the deck differently. Don't worry about it. Now, to play the game, each player turns up a card at the same time. And the player with the higher card takes both cards and puts them face down on the bottom of his or their stack. If the cards are of the same rank, it is War. Each player turns up one card face down and one card face up. The player with the higher cards takes both piles, 6 cards in total. If the cards are again of the same rank, you continue with War. Each player places another card face down and turns another card face up. The player with the higher card takes all 10 cards, and so on, as long as it doesn't include being in War again. And to know when a game ends is when one player has the entirety of all the cards.
Thank you, Shane, for that. I always remember playing War as a kid, but I forgot how to play, so now I'm refreshed.
Hopefully now I can actually play. Maybe I'll listen back to that. Figure it out. All right, we're going to welcome our next guest. We have Marty. Marty, what are you going to be telling us how to do today?
My name is Marty Payne, and I'm going to show you guys how to set up a DJI Mini Mavic drone. So we'll start by popping open the case, take the drone out, flip open the arms without damaging the drone, take the little gimbal protector off, that's that snap, and open the back of the drone for the battery door, or to get the battery in. That's in place. Now we'll get the transmitter up, set that up, get the gimbal sticks placed in so we can control it. Now let's power the transmitter on. Transmitter is synonymous for controller. Now open up the DJI app on my phone. Okay. Now we'll power on the drone. You always do the transmitter first and then the drone. The drone's gonna do a little like dance or whatever with the motors, and then we'll hear a sound that indicates that it's on. Now the drone's all set up. Now we'll do a little takeoff. See if this works indoors. maybe not. Unlock, there we go. Okay, here we go. And there you have it. That's all. It's that simple. All right.
Awesome. Thanks, Marty.
I never knew how to fly a drone, but now I do. Maybe I'll give it a shot.
All right. We're going to be welcoming our next guest. Can you introduce yourself?
Hello, in today's audio, I'm going to talk about how to make a delicious steak. We need to have steak, salt, black pepper, olive oil or another high heat cooking oil, butter, garlic cloves, and fresh herbs. Firstly, take your steak out of the fridge and let it come to room temperature. This ensures even cooking. Then, pat it dry, then generously season both sides with salt and pepper. Heat up your skillet or grill to high. If you are using a skillet, add a little oil until it's shimmery. Place your steak on the hot surface and sear it for about 3 to 4 minutes per side, depending on how you like it cooked. For added flavor, you can toast in a knob or off butter, some garlic and fresh herbs like rosemary during the last minute, and baste the steak with that melted goodness. If you are not sure when it's done, use a meat thermometer like 130 to 135 degrees Fahrenheit is perfect for medium rare. Once cooked, let the steak rest under some foil for 5 to 10 minutes to keep it juicy. Then, slice against the grain. Finally, you can enjoy your steak. Hello.
Awesome, thanks for that. I'm never good at cooking steaks. Do you cook steak often?
I gotta be honest, I don't, but my parents do, and they're really good, so shout out to my parents for the good steaks.
My parents also cook steak pretty often, but if I'm gonna eat it while I'm up here at school, someone else has to cook it for me.
I agree with that.
All right, here is our next how-to.
Everyone, now I'm gonna show you how to make a cup of coffee to start my morning. I start by reaching for the bag of coffee beans, opening it carefully. The beans rustle as I pour just the right amount into the grinder. Once the lid is secure, I press the button, and the grinder comes to life with a steady buzz. After a few seconds, I stop the grinder, tapping it lightly to make sure all the grounds fall into the container. Next, I prepare my brewing setup. I place a filter into the beaker and position it carefully over my favorite mug. I gently pour the freshly ground coffee into the filter, smoothing it out evenly with a small shake. Then, I turn to the kettle. I fill it with water and set it on the stove or turn on the electronic kettle, listening to quiet hum or bubbling sound as the water heats up. When the water is ready, I pour it slowly over the coffee grounds in a steady spiral motion. The water meets the coffee with a faint hiss, and the steam begins to rise. I watch as the coffee starts to drip, forming dark, rich liquid in the mug below. I pause for a moment to let the grounds bloom before pouring again, continuing until all the water has passed through. Once the last drop falls, I lift the dripper off the mug and set it aside. I give the coffee a gentle stir, pick up the mug, and have a good taste. It completely woke me up.
Beautiful. All this talk of coffee really makes me want to drink some.
Me too, Sasha. I love coffee so much.
Leah, what's your preferred method of making coffee? And do you like hot or iced?
I can only drink iced coffee. I just use a little bit of creamer, regular coffee, nothing too crazy. What about you?
I also prefer iced, but I have a little Nespresso, and that thing's my best friend. All right, we're going to move on to our next how-to.
I start by setting the grinder to 3.6. And waiting out the fresh coffee beans, carefully pouring them into the hopper. I press the button, letting the grind hum for about 20 seconds. Then transfer the freshly ground coffee into the bottomless handle. Make sure to evenly distribute it before tapping it down firmly. I lock the coffee handle into place and I press the extraction button. Watching at the rich, dark espresso slowly begins to flow, filling my cup with exactly 20 grams of liquid gold. Next, I steam the milk to the sticky texture. Make sure it's just right. Then, clean the steam wand with a quick wipe. I pour the milk gently over the espresso, crafting a smooth, elegant latte art. And with that, my perfect latte is ready to enjoy.
Even more coffee talk.
Making me very thirsty this morning.
Could really use that extra energy, but we're going to move on to our next how-to. Maybe that'll get us energized.
I'm testing my mouse. I just opened the game. Now it is open. Oh, it's open. And I'm opening the game.
Match found.
Oh, just found a match. Now I'm in the game. I'm walking at the keyboard. Just getting the out. And I use my mouse to show. And now I'm talking about my thing. Just about to clear the enemy out.
Leah, do you play any video games?
Sometimes. I like to race cars on video games, so that's my go-to. What about you?
I enjoy The Sims 4 sometimes, but other than that, not big into video games. Went through an Animal Crossing phase during quarantine, but I feel like most of us did.
Oh yeah, Sims 4, I forgot about The Sims. That's such a good game.
All right, we're welcoming Mads on.
One of the biggest games to come out of 2024 is a roguelike take on poker named Alatro. It's become one of my favorite games recently, so I'm going to talk about the process of starting to play it. The first thing you want to do is download the game. It is currently available on Steam for $14.99 and the App Store for $9.99. I personally went with the cheaper option. Upon booting up the game, you will be met by Jimbo the Clown, Alatro's mascot. He will tell you in great detail how the game works, but I will do my best to do so right now. The game's goal is to essentially build the most powerful deck to defeat levels called blinds. This can be achieved through the different Joker cards, which are essentially the center of the game, and serve different purposes, as well as consumable cards, which will either level up the playing cards in your deck or give you new ones. Each run of Alatro consists of 8 antes, with 3 blinds making up each ante. With each ante you reach, the higher the score goal is, and the more difficult it is to beat it. The most addictive or perhaps frustrating part of the game is its roguelike aspect, meaning that all the jokers and level ups you achieve during one run will be gone in the next if you are defeated. Every round, you will typically be handed 8 cards to start with. Each card is worth its corresponding amount of chips unless stated otherwise. You are afforded around 3 hands and 3 discards depending on the starting deck, and the discards allow you to take away cards from your existing hand and get new ones from your deck. You can earn chips by playing poker hands, and the total amount of chips per hand is calculated by the chips and the number of mult each hand is worth. These base chips and mult for each type of hands, such as 3 of a kind, flush, and pair, can increase with the use of the consumable cards. The longer you play the game, the better you are at knowing what types of boosters and cards you may need to optimize your performance.
All right, thank you, Mads. You are listening to 95.7 KDRT in Davis, California. Next up, Leah is going to share her process mix.
Here's how to make hot chocolate using a microwave. To start, you're going to get a mug of any size. Next, you can pour water or milk for a richer flavor into your mug. Be sure not to fill it up all the way, as there is a chance that it could overflow. Next, you're going to heat up your milk or water in the microwave for 1.5 to 2 minutes. The time depends on the power of your microwave. Next, you're going to pour 1 packet of hot chocolate mix or 2 tablespoons of hot chocolate powder into your mug. These items can be purchased at your local grocery store. The next step is to mix your hot chocolate. To mix, you can use a spoon, frother, or any utensil you have. Be sure to be careful while mixing and not splash hot chocolate all over your counter. Once you're done mixing, you can add marshmallows or whipped cream or anything fun to spice up your drink. I personally love putting marshmallows in my hot chocolate. Make sure to let your drink cool and enjoy your hot chocolate.
Thanks, Leah. I also love putting marshmallows in my hot chocolate.
It's a go-to. It's so good. Whipped cream is also really good as well, but I do prefer the marshmallows. All right, we've got our very own Sasha's up next with her how-to.
Are you ever walking down the street and you see a dog that you want to pet? Does it have an owner? Awesome. Here's how to pet the dog. First, you're going to look for body language. Does it seem friendly and relaxed? Then go ahead. Check if the owner's approachable. They could be busy or distracted. Politely ask the owner, "Is it okay if I pet your dog?" Wait for their response. Never pet the dog without the owner's consent. If they say yes, ask the dog's name. Slowly lean down and put your hand out. Make sure the dog can see your hand. If they can see your hand, then they'll probably sniff it. If the dog sniffs your hand, you're probably fine to pet it. Observe the dog's body language. Make sure it's happy to be pet. Pet it gently in neutral areas, like its back. Avoid reaching over its head. That can feel a little intimidating. If you're talking to the dog, use a calm and soothing tone. If I were you, I'd keep the interaction pretty brief. But it's okay to ask, "How old is your dog? What breed is it?" Tell them your favorite breed if you have one. I usually say mine is a pug. If the dog rolls over on its back, it's probably fine to pet its tummy. After you pet the dog, be sure to thank the owner. And maybe thank the dog too, because why not? Anyway, that's how you pet a dog on the street.
Wow, I hope that was enlightening.
It really was. I think I have the confidence to go pet dogs on the street now.
All right, you are listening to 97 KDRT in Davis, California.
Well, it ain't no use to sit and wonder why, baby, even you don't know by now. And it ain't no use to sit and wonder why, baby, it'll never do somehow. When your rooster crows at the break of dawn, look out your window and I'll be gone. You're the reason I'm a-traveling on, but don't think twice, it's all right. And it ain't no use in a-turning on your light, baby, the light I never knowed. And it ain't no use in turning on your light, baby, I'm on the dark side of the road. But I wish there was something you would do or say to try and make me change my mind and stay. But we never did too much talking anyway. But don't think twice, it's all right. And calling out my name, gal, like you never done before. And it ain't no use in calling out my name, gal, I can't hear you anymore. I'm a thinking and a wondering, walking down the road. I once loved a woman, a child, I'm told. I give her my heart, but she wanted my soul. Don't think twice, it's all right. So long, honey, baby, where I'm bound, I can't tell. Goodbye is too good a word, baby, so I just say fairly well. I ain't saying you treated me unkind. You could have done better, but I don't mind. You just kind of wasted my precious time. But don't think twice, it's all right. Thank you.
for the second show. So mystic and soulful. The voice reaching out in a piercing cry, it stays with you until is weaving . painting notes, pizzicato strings, the rhythm is calling. Alone in the night as the daylight brings a cool empty silence. Your hand and a cold gray sky, it fades to the distance. The image is gonna leave you, and that image nothing to me. This means nothing to me.
Are listening to 97.1 KDRT in You are listening to 95.7 KDRT in Davis, California. This was Techno Cult Radio.
I know it's hard for you, my baby, because it's hard for me, my baby. Just before dawn.
you to do, especially for me.